VentureCast.
Tell me, what are some of the most strangest hustles you had growing up? Because I've had some strange ones. Like, I'll share. Like, me, I was hustling all the time. Like, in high school, I was selling fake jewelry. I was selling pagers. I was selling burnt DVDs, incense. Nah, I never sold incense, but I sold everything I could put my hands on. I was the plug for everything. I was that kid. I was called Hustle Kid, HK.
I don't know.
No strange hustles?
No, I've always been like a legal hustler, like, you know, get a job, stuff like that. Strange hustles. I don't know. You know, I mean, me and my sister did stuff like do a lemonade stand type
of thing. Nice, that's so wholesome.
But that was nothing. But no, I've never like, I had, no, I don't, you know, no.
Nothing crazy. Nothing time, folks. I was like, dang, because you told me you had two cell phones. I was like, oh, I used to be a dope dealer too.
No drug dealing. No drug dealing.
You are building yourself up. You're building this empire. Do you have any other ventures that you're venturing off into? Like makeup, clothes, your own? Are you bound by contracts that you're in? Like, you can't make your own clothing line?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
No. you better have your lawyer look at your contract, girl.
No. It just more so relates to like fit modeling and stuff like that. Like, but I don't plan, like, I don't want to have to look for a client for that. Like, I didn't even know that existed. Like, so at the end of the day, I'm happy that they're throwing me, you know, hours and clients and stuff like that. But as far as
new ventures.
Yeah, ventures. I eventually want to write a book. I don't know. I've tried to start it 1,000 different times, but then there's so many different topics that I feel like I could write about. So
that's why you put them down and then you work on one topic at a time. I'm trying to write my own book, and it's called, it's about master manipulators and how to spot them, because I grew up with so much manipulation. It's uncanny. It's crazy. Because I grew up in a house full of single women, and I'm the youngest, so I saw a lot of stuff. I was up on game. Yeah. So I would see how men would play the women in my life, and then I would see how women would play men to get what they wanted. So I was up on game way before I was even in the dating world. You know what I'm saying? And I'd talk to girls, and my sisters would be, ask her. You know, like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and then, you know, I've had it always seems like every decade I get a new manipulator in my life who I've been like, dude, I've moved away from someone just like you just for another you to fill his slot.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it? You know, so I really want to write a book. And so, you know about the Amazon publishing that you do through there, right?
Yeah, I have one of my best friends even wrote a book and published it on Amazon. So
yeah,
she's just waiting on me. I know she would support me, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So. No, so yeah, that I want to do that because I want to create awareness. Reason why I was talking about ventures, because I created my brand, Mestizo Way. The reason why I created this, my clothing line, was to create awareness for self-destructive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us suffer from it. Like, we suffer, we do things that literally destroy us.
Right.
Like, we go from relationship to relationship, whether it be professional or personal, right?
Preach.
And every time you get a new relationship, oh my God, they're such a good person. They have this. 3-6 months later, it's the same repeated story.
Same repeated story.
And just like their career. Oh, my boss is great. I love everybody I work with. 3-6 months later, oh my God, my boss is a jerk. I can't stand my coworker. And they sabotage their life repeatedly. And they have this behavior pattern. We a lot of us suffer from it and we don't even know it. Right? Self-destructive behavior is a real thing. And there's not even awareness about it. A lot of people don't even know about it. Like, you might have heard of self-destructive behavior, but no one really thinks about it.
No.
It's not talked about.
Right. I talk about that often, like, just the choices that you make. Or sometimes you make your life way harder than it needs to be, you know, when you're irresponsible and things like that. So I definitely have seen and had my share of experiences with manipulators and people who I have clearly seen that even when I'm not in their life anymore, that they still have the same issues that they had when I was around. So clearly it's not me who's
And they don't know it.
Yeah. Right.
Manipulators.
Right.
Yeah.
That's want to make it seem like it was you, but you know, they
narcissists.
Have. Right. Yeah. Man, we could talk about that forever.
Speaking of narcissists, I wanted to touch on the topic about pretty privileged, right? Pretty now, privileged. Being plus size myself, right? I lost a lot of weight back in 2017. And then this is before I gained it all back. But I was treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
I was treated very differently when I lost a lot of weight. My fiance right now, she just dropped over 72 pounds. And she's like, people treat me differently. Like, it's my life is happier. I go, it sucks. So there's a such thing as pretty privileged. And being plus size all my life, I noticed that people could be mean to me, but the moment I react, I'd get in trouble,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I'm bigger. And I'm like, but they're look at how they're treating me. But
I go through that with my son.
Oh, my God.
I go through that with my son at school. Like, I feel like people expect him to like be the bigger person and walk away because he's the size of a 13-year-old at seven.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, your son hits my son. Yeah. He's going to hit him back. Get it. That's what I told him. Yes. Yeah, no. You don't
catch these hands.
No, exactly. And I tell him like people are going to try you because you're bigger. Mm-hmm. So I definitely feel like there's a pretty privilege. And I know because, you know, I do see the different treatments of people. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, when I go out,
yeah.
I have seen a difference between like when I wasn't confident and when I'm now confident. Like I go out by myself and I have people approach me all the time just because they see I'm like content and confident in my own mm-hmm. space. And so, but yeah, people are definitely like more nice and things like that. And, yeah, so I guess there is somewhat of a pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege. And I say I brought that attention to people I know, and they're like, that's not true. I'm like, you don't know because you're on the other side. Because
you're ugly. I'm sorry, you're ugly. You don't know because you don't know. Will never experience.
No, they're on the pretty privileged side. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's always went their way. It's always people always sided with him when it comes to certain things. And I fear for that because my son looks – he looks a lot like me. I mean, he's my twin. And someone, he's 14, 6 foot. You know what I'm saying? And he's always been tall. He's built like me. You know what I'm saying? So I fear for him, you know, at school. But he's like a teacher's pet. Like, so he's good, you know. But I know as a model, I wanted to know if you dealt with that in the industry or even growing up.
I will say, like, I have a lot of people who, I don't know, maybe it's because, like, I'm in denial of, like, a pretty privilege because I didn't feel so pretty for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, like,
yeah, because you're pretty. Yeah.
No, so I think I'm very humble generally about, like, I don't know, about everything. Yeah. So. I tend to be in denial sometimes of it, but then I also know that there are certain things that happen to me because people, you know, either want to work with me or that they wouldn't give the opportunity to somebody else who might not look have like me, features, you know, have the curves, all that, you know.
Got you. Now, you live in Sac. How long? You've been there your whole life or would you originate from?
Woodland and Sac. So my from 1 to 4 Woodland, from 4 to 6 I was in my first time in foster care. So I went from West Sac to Davis to Vacaville for a very brief time. in that 2 years. And then when I went back home, I was in Woodland from 6 to 12. And then from then on, I was pretty much in SAC. And I've been in pretty much SAC since then.
If you could live in anywhere in the world, where would you live?
Hawaii.
Hawaii?
I've been to Hawaii, so I can say that. It's moist there, girl. It is moist, but it's so pretty and so peaceful.
Dude, when you fly in there, it looks like a movie.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. It's like, I mean, there's a reason why they shot Jurassic Park there.
Right.
Did you go on that tour?
No, I did not. I drove by the park, and I saw the sign, but I did not go.
I took my son on I took him for his 10th birthday. I took him to Hawaii. He was stoked, and it was awesome. This was my first time in Hawaii. And even like, so going back to what I said is about, I didn't want him to have it easy. So I go, we're not renting a car. I was like, we're going to get Ubers or we're going to do public transportation.
Oh, you're tripping.
So I said like this, because the reason why.
That's for me. No. it will make my life harder to figure it out.
I go, pull your phone out. I'm going to show you how to use Google. We're going to go here. Here's the address. Now, on here, you slide over to public transportation, do the little bus sign, and find out what number our bus is and what time we have to be at that spot. I taught him this because I know eventually he has to fly the nest, and he's going to go backpacking across Europe or wherever, and I need to know he knows how to take care of himself. Like, he could use this later on down the road. So I use it as a learning, something he can learn from at the same time I was rewarding him for his birthday. And it was really cool because we were riding. We took an Uber a few times. We were there for a week. And the Uber drivers were like, so what brings you to Hawaii? I was like, it's a little guy's birthday. They're all, you brought him here for his 10th birthday? I was like, oh, were you guys here with a bunch of family? I go, nope, just me and him. And they're all, wow, what a spoiled kid. I go, he is very spoiled. You know, I didn't have the opportunity to go to those places, travel when I was younger. So I wanted to give him that. And he loves to travel. That's his thing. If I ever go somewhere, if anybody goes somewhere without him, like me or his mom, he gets crushed. He's like, why can't I go?
Like, yeah, I definitely have that same mindset with my son. Like I said, he was on an airplane to Disneyland before. I didn't go to Disneyland until 16. And that was my first time on an airplane. And that was his first time on an airplane at 3. So
I barely went like 3 years ago.
Wow.
My fiance took me. I know. I haven't been I was at Disneyland when I was like 2. But that don't count.
Right. Because
you don't know. You don't even remember anything.
My son will talk a little bit about Disneyland. He probably doesn't remember like a lot of like the rides he rode on and stuff like that. But he'll talk about like when he went on the airplane and things like that. So, and then we did travel football last year. His football team, shout out to the Grant Pacers.
That's
what's up. They were number 4 in the nation for their age group. 7U. They were some beasts.
What sports are you going to allow them to play? Because I know there's all this talk with concussions now. It's coming to surface. I had my son in flag football. It was a fight with his mom just to get him in there because I was like, it's no contact. Like, they're not going to be tackling each other and they're just reaching for flags. And I've had him in mixed martial arts since he was like 6. But I wasn't allowed to put him in the ring, which I understand. I don't want – he's got a beautiful mind and a beautiful face. I don't want him to get room. But I did want him to learn how to defend himself.
Yeah.
So as a parent and all these, you know, things going on, what sports are you allowing him to play as he grows up?
I mean, he was in full-on tackle football.
Wow. That's a little guy in first grade. Yeah. Nice.
No, he was – and don't get me wrong, like, I attempted to take him when he was 5, but honestly, certain things were happening in life that I couldn't commit to that at that very particular moment. So I was like, ooh, they're kind of hard on my baby. Anyways, the first day I took him to conditioning, I remember the coaches were like, okay, now we're going to do stadiums. And I was like, he's 5 years old. But at the end of the day, like, the next year when I brought him back, because the coach was super persistent about bringing him back because he's big size, they, of course, want him.
That was like me. All the coaches were calling, trying to convince me to be on their team since I was, like, in 5th grade.
Yeah, no, I got a card handed to me in kindergarten.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, so.
Real quick, we have to take another break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electrocast. Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electrocast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
Electrocast.
Electrocast.